chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Chris, for reading the Word of God this morning. Let me say once again, it's just a great pleasure and a blessing to be here today and just to focus our attention on the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We can do that all the time, but yet what a blessing it is that there's a special time that we can do that. We do that as a church, so we're grateful for that. Let's bow our heads right now, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. As we study His Word this morning, as we learn about Jesus, we need His help. Let's pray. Father, as we come to You this morning, we come thankful, grateful, desiring to lift our voices in praise and glory to You. When we consider what You have done to people who are so undeserving, Father, it just brings a joy and a gratitude from our hearts. Thank You for Jesus. And Lord, our desire even right now at this moment as we open up the Scriptures, that we will truly have ears that will hear, that our hearts will be opened by You, Father, to receive this morning the truth of Your Word. And God, may we be those who would receive it, even as we learned this morning in our class, receive it on good ground, that it would bring forth fruit today in our lives. And God, that's our desire. Our desire is not just to speak. Our desire is not just to hear. But God, we thank You for a desire that You've placed in our hearts, that we know that what we hear, what we speak, what we receive is the Word of God. And God, we trust You to take this Word and transform us and change us. And God, there's nothing better, higher, more effective from Your Word than to hear about Jesus. Help us this day to look at this truth and to be changed by it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We don't normally think of Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, as a Christmas passage. And if you've come the last few weeks, or even if you've come today and you're thinking, well, we're going to hear one of those familiar passages of Scripture that speak about Christmas, I'm sorry. But we're in Hebrews chapter 1, and I would say to you, this is a Christ-centered passage. This is a passage almost like none other. There are some others, but one of a few passages that deal specifically and deeply and greatly with our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a portion of Scripture that will open our eyes to the glory of the Son of God and will cause us to worship and praise and be joyful at who He is. And you know, when I think about that, that should be the purpose of our Christmas celebration. That should be the purpose of Christmas worship, that we would adore and exalt and love and worship and have deep joy because of Jesus Christ. Look again at Hebrews chapter 1, and I'd like to read again verses 1 through 4. And I'll read it, and I would encourage you to think clearly about Jesus as we read this passage again. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. My goal this morning is very, very simple. I want you to understand who Jesus is. And I want you this morning, and especially at this time of year when we celebrate the coming of Jesus into the world, to move past the small, helpless, lowly, humble infant that was born in the manger. And I want you to see, through the words of the writer of Hebrews, who that baby is, and what that baby would grow up to do, and how we must respond to him. Folks, if we take the words of Hebrews to heart, our Christmas celebrations will never, ever be the same. As a matter of fact, our lives will be different. So let's look at this passage. And first of all, let's go to verse 3, and let's focus on the last phrase, the last statement of verse 3. I want you to notice that the writer says that he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, when we read verses 2 and 3 here in Hebrews chapter 1, we come to this last phrase in verse 3, and there's a force, there's an emphasis, there is a finality of this statement in the last part of verse 3. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now there's a subject in that statement, he or who, and we know that to be Jesus with the context. There is a main verb, he sat down. And so we look at that fourth statement in verse 3, and we can say that the main clause of this verse is that he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And the other statements that we find in this verse, they're connected to this truth, and they shed light on this truth, this last statement of verse 3. And so the way that we could see the emphasis of the writer here is to read it like this. That he, being the radiance of God's glory, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And he, being the exact representation of God's nature, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And he, upholding all things by the word of his power, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And he, having made purification of sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You see, what the writer wants us to see here and never forget is why Jesus Christ sat down at the right hand of God. He is the radiance of God's glory, so he sat down. He is the exact representation of God's nature, and so he sat down at God's right hand. He upholds all things by the word of his power, and so he sat down at the right hand of God. And he made purification of sins, so he sat down at God's right hand. In ancient times, when a king or a sovereign placed someone at their right hand, it was a place of honor. It was a place of high rank. But oh folks, it was much more than that. Because that person who was seated at the right hand of the king or the monarch, was given equal authority and equal honor and equal dignity with the king and with the monarch. And so when the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, he was declaring clearly the equality of God the Son with God the Father in honor and authority and dignity and nature and essence. There was equality between God the Father and God the Son. And this has always been God's plan. The Messiah, the God-man, would sit at God's right hand. Hold your place in Hebrews chapter 1 and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and I want you to look at verses 19 to 21. The Apostle Paul writes here, and notice what he says. He's talking about the power of God, and the power of God that will raise us from the dead, that raised Christ from the dead. Notice how he says it. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 19. Paul says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Folks, that's Jesus. That's Jesus, our Savior. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, that precious chapter speaking about the sovereignty of God, God's sovereign love and grace in our lives as believers. And look at verse 34. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Paul says, who is he who condemns? I mean, who can condemn you, Christian? Who can condemn you? Who is he who condemns? And then he says, it is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Folks, this morning we see the writers of Scripture tell us plainly that Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high. And so when we're back in Hebrews chapter 1, and as we begin to put these statements together, we will understand and we will see this morning the greatness and the glory of Jesus Christ. And it's this understanding that will transform us, not only transform our Christmas celebrations, but will actually transform our lives and transform our very existence. So go back to Hebrews chapter 1, and let's just work our way through this passage. We've touched upon it in the last few weeks, and I'd like to work backwards through this verse. And so notice that the writer of Hebrews says that he made purification for sins. Now, we looked at this truth last week. Much of what we said last week was centered on this phrase. But it's important that we see it again, because there's a connection between the work of Jesus Christ in making purification for sins and His sitting down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And we clearly see this connection, not only here in Hebrews chapter 1, but I'm going to have you turn to Hebrews 10. Go to Hebrews chapter 10 and look with me at verses 12 to 14. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. The writer gives us real insight here into what Jesus did, this purification of sins, how it affects us, and how it's a complete and final work by Jesus Christ. Look what he says. Hebrews 10, beginning with verse 12. But this man... What man? Jesus. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Now, what is plain in these verses? When we look at these verses, what is plain is the fact that Jesus Christ was seated at the right hand of God to honor Him for the total completeness of His sin-bearing work on the cross. He sat down, the writer says, at the right hand of God, waiting until all His enemies are subdued, for by one offering He has perfected for all time those who were being sanctified. Look carefully at the statement, because this word "for" means that He sits in this place of honor and authority and power because or for His offering accomplished exactly what God wanted it to. And folks, what that means this morning is that if you put your trust and hope in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your Savior and your God, then Jesus Christ will be united with you in a saving relationship, and you will be given the Spirit of God, who then starts a lifelong work of sanctifying you and changing you and transforming you into be more and more like Jesus. And so those who put their trust in Jesus are being changed. But look carefully. He says, for by one offering He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. And so in dying for us, Jesus Christ, oh folks, Jesus Christ covered our sins so completely, forgave our sins entirely, so that it can be said that we are perfected before God. That we are perfect before God. Don't let this pass too quickly. We talked about it last week, but think about this, that in the mind of God, in the sight of God through Jesus Christ, you are perfect. Absolutely. Perfect in the sight of God. A positional standing before God. You are perfect. And yet in the same statement, He says you are being sanctified. You are being perfected. It's an amazing statement that describes to us the Christian life. And what's it centered around? It's centered around Christ's complete and total and finished final work for us. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven all of our sins. And to use Paul's words that we've looked at recently, we're justified. We're not guilty. We're declared righteous, and not just for a little while, but how long? Forever. Forever. This is why Jesus Christ was exalted to the honored place at the right hand of God. His sin-bearing work was perfect. His resurrection and exaltation at God's right hand is a declaration to the whole world of His finished and completed perfect work. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And so, brothers and sisters, I would say to you this morning, embrace this truth. Never forget this truth. This is why I repeat it this morning, because this is meant to encourage you and strengthen you and comfort you when you begin to fight this battle about the sin in your life, and you begin to say, am I really forgiven? How can I live as a Christian if I keep doing this, or if I do this, or if I've done this? Fight this battle by this truth, that the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary is a finished, done work. And if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven and you are perfect positionally in the eyes of God. And God, by His grace, is changing you, transforming you into a person that will glorify and honor Him, making you like Jesus Christ. That, by the way, is the whole Christian life. That's it. That's what the Christian life is. Jesus Christ made purification of sins, and he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Look at the second connection. We're working our way through this statement, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Notice that he upholds all things by the word of his power. We touched on this a couple weeks ago. Let me say a few more things about it this morning. Don't let this statement pass too quickly through our thoughts either today. Because here then is another great work of Jesus Christ. Here's another work of Jesus that fits him for this exalted place at God's right hand. Now let me make a statement that summarizes the impact of this statement, that he upholds all things by the word of his power. Folks, what that means then is this, that the foundational reality in the universe is not us. In other words, you are not the center of the universe. Did you hear that? Because today or this afternoon or tomorrow, when you begin to think that all life centers around you, you're wrong. Okay? The central truth, the foundational reality in the universe is not us. The foundational reality in the universe is not material things or things we see or things we touch, but the foundational reality in the universe is Jesus Christ and His Word. See, what we think is reality is actually very fragile and finite. Because everything that we see and touch and hear and feel hangs by a thread. One word spoken by Jesus Christ and it all disappears. If Jesus Christ doesn't speak a word upholding all things, it all disappears. It no longer exists. You see, the writer of Hebrews is reminding us in this statement that our existence, our life, our breath, our thinking, our doing, our living is in the hands of Jesus Christ. And without His upholding of me and you or all things, we would be no more. See, we think about, we really begin to get the scope of this statement that He upholds all things by the word of His power. What power is that, folks? What kind of word is that that upholds everything by it? Now, forgetting this, or not acknowledging this, or living like this is not true, is the very essence of sinful, fallen human beings. This is how the unbelieving world lives. They have no comprehension. They want no comprehension of who Jesus is and what Jesus does. And you know, even at this time of year, we can get a quick look at that, because look at how the world celebrates Christmas. Look at how the world celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ. But do you see just for a moment this morning why that we should put our trust in Him and our dependence in Him and our worship toward Him and our whole lives in Him? Because we owe our purification of sins and we owe our very existence to Him. To Jesus. And so the one who upholds all things by the word of His power has sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And folks, He is alive today, and He can be known and trusted and worshiped, and that's why we're here today. That's why we gather. There's a final reason why Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He is God. He is God. There are two phrases there to look at, and they go together. Look what the writer says. He says, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. The New American Standard Bible says it this way. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact representation of His nature. And so it moves us then to say, who is this man? Who was that baby born in Bethlehem? Who died for sins? Who was raised from the dead? Who upholds the universe by the word of His power? Who is sitting at the right hand of God? And the answer is, it is Jesus Christ. And He is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's nature. And so we step back and we say, what does that mean? What does that mean? When the writer says that Jesus is the exact representation or the exact imprint of His nature, we realize that to see Jesus is to see God. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, He is the image of the invisible God. And to see what God is like, you see what Jesus is like. If you want a glimpse of God, look at Jesus in the Gospels. Look at the life of Jesus. Look in the epistles at what the writers wrote about Jesus and how they described Jesus. If you want to see God, then look at Jesus. Learn about Jesus. But this word that the writer uses, this word nature, speaks of the very essence of God. The word's exact representation refers to an impression made by a die or a stamp in ancient times. That's the word that he uses. And in ancient times, a design on a die or a design on a stamp was then reproduced on a wax seal or a metal coin. You would press that stamp or that die into wax, or you would press it into metal, and it would make the exact reproduction of that stamp or that die. And so what the writer of Hebrews is telling us is that Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God, the exact imprint of God. Another way to say it, He is the personal, perfect, visible imprint of God in time, in space, and in human form. That's who Jesus is. But then the writer helps us to understand this with the other phrase. He says He is the radiance of His glory. Jesus relates to God in the way that radiance or brightness relates to glory. That word glory, by the way, means brightness. You look at the root of that word and it means a brightness or a shining. That's what glory means. And the writer says here that Jesus is the radiance of His glory. So radiance is a part of glory. The radiance is the glory that is radiating out. It's the glory that shines out. If something is shining, that which we see is what the radiance is and the outshining of that. And so the radiance is not essentially different than the glory. So think of this in this way. And any illustration we use can break down when we begin to compare it with God. But think about how the rays of sunlight relate to the sun. Now think about it. There is no time that the sun exists without the beams of radiance. The sun, you see the sun, you see the rays of the sun. When you see the sun, you see the radiance of the sun. And so the beams of the sunlight shine forth from the sun. And this word radiance means outshining. You see the sun, you see the outshining of the Son. And so we see God the Father by seeing Jesus. He is the radiance or the outshining of God's glory. And folks, He is not a reflection, but He is the very essence of God shining forth. That's Jesus. And so make no mistake in these words by the writer. The writer is describing the deity of Jesus Christ. And yes, He is man fully and completely. And yes, He is God fully and completely. And yes, He is the one and only, unique, one-of-a-kind God-man, Jesus Christ. And because He is God, God the Son, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. You look at a passage like that, and you say, What can a man say in 30 minutes? Because when you begin to look at that passage and you begin to dig into the deepness of these words, I mean, what can you really say in 30 minutes? You've just got a glimpse. You just got a little ray of the radiance this morning. See, it's full of truth. And it's truth that makes us stop and think. The writer of Hebrews presents to us in this passage the great and glorious person, Jesus Christ. And folks, He's alive, and He's at the right hand of God with all power and authority. And He has this exalted place at the right hand of God because He is God Himself. And He upholds you and me and the universe by the word of His power. And He has made perfect and complete purification of sins. And today, you can know Him and love Him and trust Him and worship Him and bow down to Him. You can do that today by the mercy and grace of God. But if you refuse, and you continue to refuse, you still, on a future day, will bow down to Him. And you will bow down to Him in justice and judgment and wrath. But we all will bow to Jesus. I encourage you this morning and in the coming days to look beyond Bethlehem, to look beyond the manger. And those are blessed things. Wonderful, biblical, blessed things. Look beyond the baby and see who sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. His name is Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, we can say no more but thank You and praise You. And let all glory be given to You when we consider this person named Jesus. And Father, in these coming hours and days, as we come together with family, as we meet together to celebrate the birth of Jesus, oh Lord, please implant this truth in our hearts that this is the one who now sits at Your right hand. This is the one whom we will bow to. This is the one who has made perfect and complete purification of sin, who upholds all things by the word of His power, and who is God Himself. Father, help us in our affections, in our thoughts, in our desires to turn to Jesus. And Father, if there's anyone here today who has not placed their trust and their trust alone in the God-man, Jesus Christ, may today be a day of great mercy and grace in their lives. Thank You for what You'll do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.